management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to talk with you about some of the stories that matter. It has been an interesting week. There's so much happening around the country. There's so much happening in our communities. There's so much happening in our city. And what we're going to try to do today is talk a little bit about what has been happening and try to send you into the weekend. We want to celebrate a little bit as we go into the weekend at the end of this very long week. Now, we tried earlier this week to have our weekly wrap, and we had Dr. Stacy Patton on the show. We started talking about spanking, and it became such an in-depth conversation that it lasted the latter half of the show. We started at 3:30. We went until 5 talking about spanking. And so we decided that we needed to have another opportunity to do a weekly wrap. So in the second hour at 4 p.m., we're going to open up the lines for you. We're going to pick up on our weekly wrap and give you an opportunity to call and talk about anything that you've been talking about around your kitchen table. We'll do that during the second hour. The first hour, we've got to talk about the covers of Time magazine. I have never seen anything like this. I was overwhelmed when I looked at the covers and I read the following. So for those of you who are driving along who can't pull it up, I'm just going to give you the image that you would see if you were looking at the cover of Time magazine. For those of you joining us by Facebook and Facebook Live, feel free to quickly just click over and take a look. There's one. There's an African-American woman. It looks like she may be with child. She's in a gray T-shirt, and the quote says, "I have 20 years of experience, but I can't afford to fix my car, see a doctor for headaches, or save for my child's future. I am a teacher in America." The other cover, because Time magazine did 3 covers with teachers. This is a Caucasian woman sitting at a desk. She's saying, "My child and I share a bed in a small apartment. I spend $1,000 on supplies, and I've been laid off 3 times due to budget cuts. I'm a teacher in America." And the third cover is of another Caucasian woman. She's sitting at a desk in her classroom. Listen to this, folks. She says, "I have a master's degree, 16 years of experience, work 2 extra jobs, and donate blood plasma to pay the bills. I'm a teacher in America." What kind of society do we live in where our teachers are sleeping on the floor, where they're donating blood plasma, where they can't even see a doctor because they have severe headaches? That's the type of society that we're living in. And then we get surprised by what comes about at the other end. We get surprised when we see the less than stellar conditions in our schools. We get surprised when our society says that our children don't matter. How do we know that? Because the teachers don't matter. We're going to talk about that this hour. I want to open the phones, and I want to talk about teaching as a profession, teaching as a career. All of us in this room, and I'm looking over at my staff there through the glass, all of us listening by Facebook Live, all of us on the radio, we've all sat under a teacher. Whether we're still in school or we're out of school or maybe we are a teacher, this is horrifying. I want to talk about that. We're going to open up the phones and talk about our teachers this hour and then do an open phone lines at 4 o'clock. But first, I'm excited because today we celebrate the birthday of Judge Constance Baker Motley. She was born on this day in New Haven, Connecticut. She was an assistant attorney to Thurgood Marshall, arguing the case Brown v. Board of Education. In 1950, she wrote the original complaint in the case of Brown v. Board. She was the first African-American woman ever to argue a case before the United States Supreme Court in Meredith v. Fair. That's James Meredith's case. And she was the first Black woman to do this. Think about that. James Meredith was the first black student to attend the University of Mississippi in 1962, and Motley was successful in 9 of the 10 cases she argued before the Supreme Court. So picture that. African-American woman standing up at that point in front of 9 white Supreme Court justices, all male, and she was winning hands down. This is before Thurgood Marshall got there. It's very interesting. We want to celebrate her birthday. People don't really know who she is. She was elected on February 4th, 1964 to the New York State Senate. She took that seat. She was reelected in November 1964, and she was the first African-American woman nominated by former President Lyndon B. Johnson on January 26, 1966 to a United States District Court for the Southern District of New York judge's seat. The first African-American woman nominated by President Lyndon Baines Johnson. We have a clip from Judge Baker with her advice to young African-Americans. Let's take a listen to that clip.
I think they should try to the best of their ability to improve themselves so that they can make a contribution to the society. And I see a lot of young blacks, you know. I hire some of them as law clerks. Other judges have. I remember when I first came on, you couldn't find a black qualified to act as a law clerk here. We don't have that problem today.
So Judge Constance Baker Motley died in 2005 at the age of 84. She was instrumental in Brown v. Board of Education. So often we talk about the Brown case and we talk about Thurgood Marshall. And by only talking about Thurgood Marshall, we erase the contributions of black women. We want to correct that history today. Judge Constance Baker Motley, instrumental in that case. We also want to take a minute today, folks, to remember the 4 little girls and a little boy that were killed at the 16th Street Baptist Church. This was in Birmingham. It happened on September 15th. In 1963. That is tomorrow. The 16th Street Baptist Church bombing was an act of white supremacy. It was an act of terrorism. It occurred at a black church. It was intentional. They planted at least 15 sticks of dynamite attached to a timing device beneath the steps located on the east side of the church on a Sunday morning. Martin Luther King described it as one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. The explosion of the church killed 4 girls. It also later killed 1 little boy and it injured 21 other people. I want to take a quick listen to a clip from Dr. King speaking at the eulogy of 3 of the little girls. The 4th little girl, her family had a separate funeral. They had already arranged it before Dr. King got involved.
So my friends, they did not die in vain. God still has a way of wringing good out of evil. History has proven over and over again that unmerited suffering is redemptive, that in spite of the darkness of this hour, we must not despair, we must not become bitter, nor must we harbor the desire to retaliate with violence. Life is hard, at times as hard as crucible steel. It has its bleak and difficult moments.
But the question is, God.
Why?
Why? Somebody want to know why.
Yes, Lord. We need you, Lord.
But if one will hold on, he will discover that God walks with him and that God is able to lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope and transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of inner peace. And no greater tribute can be paid to you as parents, and no greater epitaph can come to them as children, and where they died, and what they were doing when they died. They died between the sacred walls of the Church of God, and they were discussing the eternal meaning of love.
King eulogizing 3 of the 4 little girls that were killed in the bombing at the 16th Street Baptist Church. That happened on September 15th, 1963. I think it's important that we take a moment to remember this vicious and tragic crime, because what is interesting, folks, is that Dr. King at the time said it was one of the most. I think we've had so many others since then that could be added to that. I'm thinking of what happened at the church in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015 when Dylan Storm Roof went into the church, prayed with the African-American church members, and then stood up and shot them after an hour. I'm thinking about what happened at Marjory Stoneman Douglas. I'm thinking about Charlottesville. We've had so many vicious and tragic crimes perpetrated against humanity since the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing way back in 1963. Now, this bombing actually marked a turning point in the civil rights movement, and many people saw this as a moment that contributed to the support for the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What is very interesting that in this country, we don't seem to move very easily. It usually takes these extreme conditions. It takes Dr. King putting, you know, first and second graders on the front line of the movement and having them being attacked by dogs and water hoses. It takes older people being shot up in a church before we decide as a country to move. When are we going to make a decision that the way things are at this moment, that we're not going to stand for them anymore? When do you get to a point when you start thinking about race relations in this country? When you say enough is enough? When do you start thinking about gun control issues and you say enough is enough? So on this anniversary of the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, I'm just trying to figure out, where do you stand on this? Dr. King said the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. I'm just trying to figure out, folks, when is it going to have that? When we're going to have that moment when justice is going to get here? And when does the arc stop bending? Because it seems like this arc of the moral universe continues to bend, and justice, which has taken a long time to get here, it doesn't look like it's arriving anytime soon. So I'm thinking about the four little girls and the little boy today. I'm thinking about what happened in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm thinking about the over 6,000 people that were lynched in this country. I'm thinking about Botham Jean, who was just, his funeral was just yesterday, the black man that was shot in his own home. I'm thinking about all of that as I'm going into a weekend. Well, we have a Category 1 storm, which was previously a hurricane, Florence, striking throughout the South and their communities. We talked about this yesterday on the show. They're economically challenged communities that did not evacuate and may not ever be able to rebuild themselves. So as we go into our own weekends and we start thinking about how we're doing and our own privilege, let us not forget all of these things. Let us not forget what it has taken to move this country. Some people say that America is exactly where it needs to be and that we should be comfortable. We should wait until it's time to vote before there is change. I say the opposite. The only way this country has ever changed is because people, regular old folk like you and I, were willing to stand up, to lean in, to get arrested, to die if that's what it took in order to force this country to change. I am not just talking about the civil rights movement. We can go all the way back to the Revolutionary War. We can talk about the War of 1812. We could talk about the women's movement towards suffrage. We could talk about the push to get disabilities put on the books. We can talk about all of those things, and every single advancement in this country has been because people were willing to stand up, lean in, get arrested, and die if necessary. Unfortunately, folks, white supremacy doesn't give if you're nice enough. What is interesting, people think that as long as black folks are nice, as long as we dress up in a suit, as long as we say yes, sir, and no, sir, as long as we know how to bend, move, and bow, then we're not going to get killed. Well, apparently that's not happening. People think as long as women move out the way, as long as women apologize, as long as women wear pants, as long as we wear suits, then we won't be sexually harassed and assaulted. Well, apparently that's not happening either. It won't stop until in this country here right now, until you and I, regular folks, are willing to stand up, lean in, march, protest, raise our voices, raise our pens, write about it, teach about it, get arrested if necessary. And in some cases, folks are going to have to die for this, because every single advancement in this country has been on the backs of death. I'm not making it up. You know the history books. If you think about the Civil War in this country to end American enslavement, 670,000 people died. Someone had to die so black folks can get free. If you talk about the civil rights movement, talk about the unnamed footless soldiers out here. And how many of them died so that we can have the rights we have today? Hey, folks, you got to lean in. That's what we're talking about today, is it makes me think about what's happening with the teachers in this country. When do we do more? When do we decide that no teacher teaching our baby should have to donate blood plasma in order to make their rent? Should not have to sleep on the floor. And I know you're saying, well, no, Baltimore City teachers get paid really well. We can get into another whole discussion about the conditions that they have to teach under. But I'm opening up the phones, 410-319-8888. Let's talk about the teachers. Let's talk about leaning in. Let's talk about the way that we can change this country. Let's just get ourselves prepared for what you need to do this weekend, because we've got work to do if we want to make it better, folks. 410-319-8888. I have Buddy on the phone from West Baltimore. Buddy, how are you?
How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well.
I was listening at you and explaining things, and I was just thinking, and not just because your show started, but all day today, what have black folks done to another race to make them do the things that they do?
Come on.
And not only that, it's just that you said that when is enough enough, it's been enough.
Yeah.
It's been way more than enough.
Yes,
you know
it
what
has
I'm saying?
Been.
And I mean, if we don't get ourselves together, then we're going to die. They're going to kill us if we don't get ourselves together and save what we have.
Because they have been, right, buddy? We know.
Right.
You and I both know.
I don't care what laws you make. Every time
Come
they
on.
Create laws, they change it to justify everything that goes on. And it just go on and on and on and on. And I mean, it's like that preacher that was on Taraji's show the other day, man. I mean, I want to get a copy of that message that he had, because he was talking about some love.
Yeah, but you know what? See, now let me ask you this, buddy, because I'm all for love, right? You know I'm a pastor's daughter, so I am all about love, right? But my daddy, as a Baptist pastor, would preach about love, but he also made sure he had protection underneath the seat of his car driving around Jim Crow, South Carolina at night.
Well, I mean, I can't say you go around and hug somebody who want to pour gas on you and burn you up and hang you around a tree.
Come on.
You can't love them, and you can't run.
No, you can't.
You
can't.
What you said about the dogs, the hunting, they hunted them down and then hung them, and they had fun doing it.
Yes, they were picnics.
What kind of heart or person or a human being would think of that kind of way if they ain't animalistic?
Yeah, there's something, I don't know, I just, when I look at the pictures of the lynchings, buddy, and I see, now folks, I'm just going to throw this out here, I'm telling you, it is going to be a rough show today, because I mean, I'm coming in here upset, but when I look at the pictures of the lynching, which I did earlier this week, so you have white men, presumably, because I can see their hands, they're white men in the KKK outfits, but the ones whose faces were uncovered, buddy, were the women and the children. They had the KKK robes on, and their faces, I'm like, well, you can see the pictures of who these people are.
Yeah,
they would make postcards and send them out at a lynching.
Yeah, and would have tied them to train tracks, pour gasoline
everything.
On them. And
everything.
Everything you can imagine, you know. And I mean, not even counting the ones that ain't been found. But Conversational Peace by Stevie Wonder, I like that. It's a whole 150 million been killed in the slave trade, but you always want us to remember the 6 million Jews.
Mm, thank you so much, buddy. I'll have them pull that up. Justine, let's try to find that piece by Stevie Wonder and play it for Buddy. We have Linda on. Linda from Gwen Oak. Linda, how are you?
Hi. Sister, I'm calling you Sister K.
Yeah, that's
I'm
fine.
I'm telling you, I just love you, and I always appreciate your programs and the subjects that you are bold enough to deal with. And my subject today is the buck stops here.
Mm.
Baby, it is time for everybody that stands for right to rise up, take a stand, show your face. Don't be ashamed. And it's only when we rise up and take a stand, honey, God got your back. But enough is enough. And all I know is that the black man need to stop killing one another, stop all this dumb stuff, the violence and all this craziness, and stand up for what's right. And let's come together as a people.
Because there's
strength and power in unity.
I agree.
And come out from behind the walls. Like you said, protest, speak up, don't be afraid, and take a stand.
I agree with you.
And when we take a stand, God stands with you.
I agree. If you stand on the side of right. Thank you so much, Linda. Thinking about that, folks, I'm just going to go back to my line. Dre told me he liked it. When are we willing to bend, move, and bow? When do we make a change? When do you decide that enough is enough. Because I've asked you this before. I'm just thinking, as I think about the four little girls at the 16th Street Baptist Church, and it's the four little girls and the little boy, and then I jump forward to Botham Shem John being shot and killed in his own apartment. I mean, let's not forget, they just came out today and said, oh, we found marijuana in his apartment. I'm just trying to figure out how finding marijuana in this man's apartment justifies him being shot and killed at the door of his home. Like, I don't understand how the two line up, but what they're doing to us, folks, they're once again painting the victim as the criminal. That's what they do. Think about every time we dealt with someone being killed during Black Lives Matter. A child's been shot, Tamir Rice. Then you want to know from his teachers, well, he didn't always sit down. He wasn't really a good boy. He didn't listen. We got to get everybody's record all the way back in the school. They didn't pay their tithes and offerings on time, as if that justified them being killed without any weapons. Let's talk about it, folks. 410-319-8888. I have the good Leo Burris on the line. How you doing, sir?
Dr. K-Wise Whitehead, you magnificent agitator.
I knew I'd get you stirred up today.
And it's very, listen, it's very constructive, and thank God for your strength of force of personality and conviction. Let me say, a friend of mine said to me as recently as 2 days ago, he said, Leo, Alan Hill, he said, Leo, we should have marched those students when they were burning up in their classroom.
Yes,
we should have marched them into the administration building on North Avenue where it was air conditioned. We should have marched hundreds of students.
I had
in
class there.
Yeah, and refused to leave up in there with Sonia Santelice.
Yes.
Or in the City Hall, where it's air conditioned.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you.
You know, there is no substitute, and I know folks don't agree, some of them, for direct action demonstrations that are confrontational but nonviolent. I'm not proposing violence,
right,
but I am saying there is no substitute for a sit-down demonstration.
No, there's not.
And or civil disobedience.
For them to see you in the space, right, Leo? They need to see you. It's not enough for you to call and complain. You need to show up.
You're right. We have the internet. We've got people talking, articulating boycotts. And it becomes very intellectual. Folks know how to do it, but most of your clergymen don't want to do it, but they'll articulate it.
No.
Most of your community leaders, whether they be the NAACP or Urban League in Baltimore City chapters, they don't want to do it, or other chapters around the country. So people, they're very comfortable because they have air-conditioned cars and homes.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, Leo. Let me ask you this. What do you think would have been the difference if, when they did that whole thing with Nike and Colin Kaepernick, if black folks had said, you know, we're not going to buy any more Nikes until you donate some of that money to our schools?
Well, don't know. I think that's the way to go. The problem, Dr. Whitehead, is getting those who know how to organize to have the courage of their convictions to go through what they say. That we don't know. We have hundreds of leaders and people who know, but they're afraid, and we can pray through that. But you know, fear without works. You know, you don't have progress without works.
Not at all. Now, I'm going to stop you there, Leo. I'm sorry, I got to stop you there. I'm going to have you hold on, Leo. We'll come back after the break. Folks, I just want to go to break, kind of throwing out something Leo said. The courage of our convictions. Faith without works is dead. As my daddy used to always tell me. I'm saying complaining without being willing to protest ain't going to get you nowhere. So this is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Keep it here and let's talk on the other side.
This is WEAA News Director Julius White. Here are some of the things you and your family can do to be ready for possible impacts from Hurricane Florence. Make sure you have food and water for at least 3 days. Stock it with food items that are non-perishable. A gallon of water per person per day is recommended. Have flashlights and batteries, toilet paper, soap and sanitizing wipes, a can opener, first aid supplies, spare eyeglasses, prescriptions, and extra medication, and necessary equipment or devices. Pet supplies. Have a radio, especially one that runs on batteries or a hand crank. Next, make a plan. Gather phone numbers. Write out contact information for workplaces, schools, doctors, insurance, and other important numbers, and keep it in your kit. Create backups of your important documents or files and store them in a secure, waterproof place. And, of course, stay informed. Stay with us at WEAA 88.9 FM for the very latest in severe weather information.
Support for WEAA is provided by
Towson University Department of Dance presenting ALE 2, September 15th for two performances only, 2 and 7 p.m. at Towson University Stephen Hall Theater, under the leadership of Alvin Ailey Artistic Director Troy Powell. The next generation of dance carries the mantle of Ailey's powerful kinetic storytelling. ALE 2 ticket info at tickets.tuboxoffice.com.
And members like you. Thank you.
Peace, this is Faraji Muhammad. Tune into the cultural, academic, controversial, and always thought-provoking conversations happening Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on For the Culture. We got those conversations that will get you talking, thinking, and laughing wherever you are. So ride with me weeknights from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with For the Culture, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community.
Not sure if you are a current WEAA member? Call us at 443-885-2075.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. KY's Whitehead. Folks, it is September 14th. Tomorrow is a day when we should be thinking about what happened at the 16th Street Church in 1963. That was the bombing. You've heard the story about the four little girls, and later a little boy died from this. But I got to thinking about this. I was thinking about the four little girls and how Dr. King called it one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. And I started thinking about Botham Shem Jean, his funeral was yesterday. So we don't seem to have moved at all. In 1963, Birmingham had so many bombings, they called it Bombingham. That's how many bombings took place, from homes to churches. They blow up where people were standing on the corners. Bombingham. That the back of Jim Crow took so long to break in that area. It took little children being willing to march in order to change what was happening there. Think about it. The Children's Campaign happened right around April, May, June in 63. You had the March on Washington taking place by August, and you had the bombing of the church taking place by September. Think about that. All in 1 year. We went from letter from a Birmingham jail, children on the front line, going to D.C., loving and hugging each other, crying and being together, and then having the church get blown up. And then Kennedy was assassinated by the end of the year. 63 was rough. I like to think 63 was just history. You talk about these history stories. Here we are in 2018. Folks, I believe 50 years from now, people are going to be talking about what we dealt with. Wow, I can't believe they dealt with so many black people being shot and killed, and they didn't march, and they didn't protest, and they didn't shut things down, not for one day, but on a regular basis. Now, Charles Johnson on Facebook Live took a little issue with what I said about withholding our dollars from Nike. He said extortion is not the answer. Proper negotiation is. Now, I was just saying, given the fact that so many black folks and some white folks as well, we were in complete support of Ho. We stand with Cap. Nike stock shot up. And I am all in for that. I am just wondering that as we put our money behind Nike's decision to make Cap one of the faces, Colin Kaepernick, how does that then help us? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out. Maybe I'm just being foolish here, folks. But I'm trying to figure out how me buying a pair of Nikes because Nike said they're going to use Colin Kaepernick, how is that going to help what's going on in my community? I mean, there were churches that had Nike Sunday. You know, they said, come wear your Nikes, buy Nike stock. But how does that help our community? Yes, I'm all down for Colin Kaepernick. I'm still kneeling at the anthem. I don't have a problem with that. How does that translate into change for our community? Or does it translate into more dollars into the pockets of those who are running the Nike Corporation? See, I know we want to be all about change and all about standing up. But to me, a pair of Nikes that I'm wearing on my feet, Nikes that I complain about because they're so dang expensive. Let's be clear. They're so expensive. And I've seen children come into school and have on $300 Nikes and they don't have a pencil. I've seen it from my own eyes when I was a teacher. Nike tennis shoes are super duper expensive. But we want to support that because they made Colin Kaepernick their face. What a great marketing strategy for Nike. I'm telling you, if I worked for Nike, I would have done the same thing. If you want to get black folks and that $1.4 trillion money base they have and you want to have it move towards you, go ahead and use Colin Kaepernick. Because what do? We went out and bought just one, two, three, four pair of Nikes because we're supporting Nike so their stock doesn't drop. Folks, you helped them. The stock went up 33%. So what else are we going to do? Now Nike's doing better. We still don't have heat in our classrooms. Nike's doing better. Our kids don't have books. Nike's doing better. And black folks are still in redlined communities throughout this country. But Nike's doing well. So congratulations on that. We did a good job. Nike is surviving. We have Kadria on the phone from Southwest Baltimore. Kadria, how are you?
I'm good. A couple of things I wanted to push back on since it's Friday.
Yeah.
Number one was the 9/11 show that you had wherein I said I had no sympathy, no apathy.
Yes, you
did. I don't know if you got me wrong, but I meant sympathy and apathy for all them white folks that I saw jumping out the windows and that died in that event, okay? To me, it was divinely predicted, okay?
Okay.
And now, if you of all the people you're talking about that died, including 6 million that didn't even make it here because they jumped over or they had diseases, why should I feel sorry for a couple of white people that died in 9/11 when this has continually happened, okay?
Okay.
Number two. This relationship between most of our people and the white people is like the doggone domestic situation between the male and the female.
Okay.
They beat the hell out of you. You keep going back. I'm sorry. You keep, why? You know, they used to tell the woman that the man, they put the man out the house and tell the woman, you know, okay. But now they tell the woman there's something wrong with her. You know why? Because she puts up with it.
Okay.
Protesting and sitting in, as you can see, as is the history, has not helped us. Only thing that's going to help us, like I keep saying, and that man that you always push back against, is to leave the hell out of here. I agree with you 100%. Withhold our dollars, which we're not going to do, because we have to be trendy. We have money, and we have to flaunt that we have money, okay? Even the poorest of us, we got money. We're status if we have Nike shoes. Why can't Michael Jackson bring a factory over here in the United States to manufacture those shoes? We're protesting, sitting. You cannot make white people like you, Dr. K. Which seems to be your whole thing. We're going to make them feel our pain. They don't even want to feel your pain. They hate you. They've always hated you. They will hate you. And you're not going to have no communal relationship with them. You have to go for yourself, regardless of how you feel about it.
Well, thank you so much, Kadria. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I will say with Kadria that I do believe that there are some white people in this country who actually do feel our pain, who are actually willing to lean in with us. I'm not just talking about the white folks that helped to start the NAACP. I'm not just talking about the white folks that marched with Dr. King on the front lines. I'm not talking about the white folks who got arrested, who got killed because they were leaning in for the civil rights movement. I'm talking about the ones today, the ones who are on the line with us for Black Lives Matter, the ones who went down to D.C. when I said I wasn't going down there because I wouldn't want to deal with the white supremacists who went down there with their children and their parents to go and put their bodies on the line. So I am not going to say that there are no white people in this country who don't care, because they do. They actually do, and they're willing to sacrifice. I sometimes wonder if we lay all of our activist cards on the table. I know a lot of white people, my allies, who if they put their activist cards on the table next to some people who are not white, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised at how much work that they do. We're not in this battle alone. We're only 13.1 up to 14% of the population. We won't win this battle alone. We need white allies. We need Hispanic allies. We need Asian American allies. We actually do if we want to win. That is how we rise. I am not talking about building a black nation, although that would be nice. Wakanda is a good dream, but let's be clear, it probably won't happen in my lifetime and probably not in my kids' lifetime. Until then, let's make what we have here better. We have Thomas on the line from Catonsville. Thomas, how are you?
Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well.
But let me say this, okay? Let me speak locally first.
Okay.
Baltimore City schools, not having air conditioners or anything, that has nothing to do with Nike. But I'm going to tell you who that has, what that has to do mm-hmm. with. That has to do with Under Armour, okay? Kevin Plank. We give him almost $500 million of our tax money.
Ooh.
You think he can put it back into the schools?
No.
So therefore, I put that solely, what's going on with our kids? I put that solely on Under Armour and the developers like him that come in, rape and rob the cities of their infrastructure money and then disappear. Because you know what they're doing over there in Cherry Hill, they're not building it for black folks.
Right.
They're building that for white folks.
That's what I've heard. People who have money. People who have money. Right.
They're using black people's money to get it done. And they're using our black politicians that we have in office, our mayor, our president of the city council, and anybody else that's in the lockstep and barrel with them. They're using our money, Dr. K. And now you're talking about the justice piece, okay? Mm-hmm. When will justice come? Justice is going to come, Dr. K. And I hate to say this, but God knows it's the truth, the way I feel about it right now.
Okay.
Well, let me clarify this. My views and opinion I'm about to give is that of Thomas, not this station, but of Dr. K. show.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. What I'm going to say, the deal with justice, you got to meet force with force. I think Brother Malcolm said it best, by any means necessary. You got to meet force with force. Because one thing I do know, being born in South Carolina, I know about them white folks down there in South Carolina. You meet force with them, they'll turn around and run like the cowards they are when they cover themselves in those KKK sheets.
Yes, well, I would agree with that. Thank you so much. Folks, when it comes to the KKK, I do take a hard line on that. I am wondering, though, because somebody just said on Facebook, Shane Smith said, hey, you know, you're going in, but you're not giving solutions. I'm opening up for conversation. I gave a solution. I do think we should hold these companies, the ones that we're putting our money in. I think we should hold their feet to the fire to be more responsive to the needs of our community. I think we should hold our politicians' feet to the fire until they are more responsive to our needs. I think, and I'm going to put this out, I'm going to go ahead because it's Friday. I feel good. I think we should also hold every personality who's speaking, radio hosts, television hosts, hold all their feet to the fire. You should be holding my feet to the fire, as many of you already do. When I speak something that's not true, you should be holding my feet to the fire. If you see me and you're like, Dr. K, there's a problem in the community, why aren't you doing something? That's holding my feet to the fire. Because one thing we do on the Today with Dr. K show, if there is a need and we can help fill it, we will do it. It's not just about talk on this show. It's about action as well. And I challenge you to challenge every radio personality with the same thing. Hey, we should all be doing more. We have Lottie on the phone. She's a new caller. Welcome to the family. She's also a retired teacher. How are you, Lottie?
I'm great. Thanks for allowing me to come through. I am a retired teacher of private school, the Ames Independent Schools of Maryland. And also I taught with Baltimore City Public Schools.
Thank you for your service.
The topic is right on time because I retired in 99 due to being assaulted in the classroom.
Wow.
However, I was in demand because I was a science teacher. And the year I left, I didn't want to leave because my daughter was a teenager and I needed to work, but I wasn't going to come back into a place where I could lose my life.
Right.
So I retired, but once a teacher, always a teacher. And I've just done a lot of private school, you know, private tutoring and whatever I can do, wherever I can. But I work with the Baltimore Rites of Passage Collective for 15 years, and that's where my expertise was, utilized properly.
Right. Okay.
However, I never did feel as teachers that we were paid right, because a job, people don't know that teaching is a fivefold job. We should be paid more than doctors.
Right.
You know, we have, the teaching part is the easiest part. We have to deal with the administration. We have to deal with, all the people that's involved in
the parents, the administrators. Yes.
Yeah, the administrators, you name it. We have to deal with that. And the teaching part is, that's the easiest part. We have to deal with parents.
Yes.
you know.
And then all the conditions in the building and also the emotional energy with your children, right? If they're dealing with something, it does impact what's going on in the classroom.
Right. Yes. While I was in the classroom, depending on what school you were in, the supplies were never there. So what we had to do was buy the supplies and they would reimburse us. And we wouldn't get reimbursed sometimes for maybe half the year.
Wow.
And we had to, you know, we were held accountable for whatever the students had to learn. So we had to go out and buy books, supplies, whatever was needed. And I was a science teacher, so that put a heavy burden on me. And then I got my money halfway through the year, you know.
Wow.
So I understand. I never thought that it would, you know, be in the white community. But they're starting to feel the blunt now that we've been dealing with all along as African-American people.
Right. Right,
but that is really a surprise. I'm going to look into that and research that.
Yeah, take a look. If you look at the Times Magazine has it on the cover. They have three different covers, but the story is the same, and it does look at teachers across the country and how they're struggling. Lottie, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you again for your service. We have Jean on the phone from West Baltimore. Jean, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a couple of things and thoughts. I am an older person. I marched in 63. My first march was in 62, and various issues dealing with civil rights. I think marching is outdated for now. I think the time for us now is planning. We don't plan. We just can't spontaneously march and expect an outcome that's going to be beneficial. One of the things that I think has happened, and I go back to the church, I think the churches have been the stalwarts of how we succeeded in the past, and they have dropped the ball. We have no support in an organized fashion for Black people to make change. At some point, we need a vessel that will collect us all, separate us by ideology, philosophy, everything, and make a plan.
Right.
Once we have a plan, then we can be definitive in our goals. We have to have action steps in order to make. I like the idea of boycotting. I boycott before I march anymore because the power of the dollar makes all the difference in the world. We don't. The other thing is that we are not invested in education.
Right.
Every person who can should teach every day. If it means only that you find a child and inspire that child.
Right, I like
whatever way you can inspire him or her, talk to them. Talk to the young men. Even if I'm a woman, I'm an old woman, and I find the young boy, I talk to him. Who do you want to be? Mm. What do you want to be? And how do you think you're going to get there, more importantly? Children don't even have answers to the basic questions, Dr. K. So we have to have and form organizations that are truly invested in our community from a sociological, a psychological, and an anthropological point of view.
Mm.
If we don't do this, and not the least of all, financial.
Right.
We have failed to build communities. We have failed to. We complain about what we don't have and what white people don't give us. Nobody gives anybody anything.
No.
You have to take it.
Yep.
I don't mean with a gun.
I know what you mean.
Robbing,
but with
I mean
planning, being
with
strategic.
Plan.
Oh, Miss Jean, thank you for calling, and also thank you for your service. To me, when someone has marched like my father did in the civil rights movement, that was a service and a sacrifice. So thank you for that. Miss Jean was just dropping it down. Everybody should teach every day. Young people in your life, are you teaching them? I mean, I taught three classes this morning at the university where I teach, but I see the radio show as a time for us to teach one another. Like, let us do this together. We have Ernest on the phone. Ernest, how are you?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
First of all, I don't think Kevin Kaepernick stole anybody to buy any Nikes.
Colin Kaepernick.
I don't think I haven't seen anywhere where he said for Black people to buy. It's up to Black people to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this country has been a satanic country ever since its inception.
Are you saying a satanic country?
Satanic. Yeah.
Okay.
Ever since its inception with slavery,
okay,
genocide of the Native indigenous people. And then when they wanted to go to war, they would kill white people. Remember the Maine?
Yes. No, I understand that. But when you say it's a satanic country, are you saying because we say that we're a Christian nation, when we look at what has actually happened, that's not Christianity? That's what you're talking
right.
about.
Right. That's okay. what I'm saying.
Okay.
Remember the Maine? I think it was 300 sailors was killed because the United States wanted the sugar. They allowed the U.S. Liberty to be attacked with no response June 8, 1967. They killed 34 sailors and wounded 171 and knew that they were Americans. Nothing was said.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was done. 9/11, they had over 3,000 people or 4,000 people killed. Did not have a criminal investigation. All the evidence was sent to China. Vietnam War, a lie. The sinking of the Lusitania, a lie. All these things is a lie, and it's all based on the New World Order.
Okay.
So I don't think, and they're killing white people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they care if they kill black people. They're killing their own people. And even Pearl Harbor, the history tells you now that the president was warned and knew in time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, don't bother me with that. They knew that they put those ships in a situation where they could be attacked so they could get involved in a war. Same thing with Vietnam, a lie.
Okay.
So if you're killing your own people just to get in the war, to fight for the oligarchs, for this New World Order, I mean, these people are evil. Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed something the other day. When they had a playback on 9/11 when George Bush was in the school.
Right, he was in the school reading a book to students, I believe.
Reading in the book, but
yeah.
Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
After the second plane hit, he came to the, what you call it, the roster, where he was giving a talk.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
While he was still in the school, he pulled out a letter that was in his inside pocket that he had a minute after the planes hit. So that means he had that letter in his pocket the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, if you follow the money on it, this guy that owned, first of all,
well, I'm going to have to stop you there,
okay.
Ernest. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Folks, if you just type in what Ernest said, there's a whole thing about did President Bush, where was he when 9/11 happened? He was in a school in Florida when a man came up and told him. And there are a number of people who really do believe that a lot of this happened, you know, leading up to the New World Order. You can definitely find that online by just Googling where was George Bush when 9/11 happened. We have Will on the phone from Baltimore. Will, how are you?
I am fine. And yourself today, Dr. Kay?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hot and heated discussion. I'm glad you called.
Indeed. I just want to make three very quick points. I was listening to a program on another radio station last night, PG County Schools, and they were boasting about how well their schools are doing, how much money they're getting for all of the students and the things that the students are doing, not just in the school currently, but moving forward to do after they finish. And they had the, as they said, the full support of the mayor and the council to do these things. It seems like those are things that we seem to be lacking.
Yes.
Your previous caller just mentioned about Kevin Plank and Under Armour and that they're at fault. Well, I like to say that the city and the constituents are at fault because we should have held them to accountable
yes.
to do things that the city needed. We have folks calling in talking about, well, we need a rec center for the kids. No. Mm. What they should have made them do with as much money and red carpet they put out for them.
Yes.
Elementary, middle, and high school, and use staff and pay the teachers.
There you go. There you go. I agree.
For a set amount of years, so we can see what happens after 3 to 4 years and that this formula works, and then we can move the city in to take over, paying what these teachers were making.
You know what would be interesting? Well, I want to say this bit. You can stay on. Don't get off. You can stay on. But I'm just wondering what would happen given the fact that the latest Park scores show that our students in Baltimore City have their scores have risen. What would happen if our students had access to the things that the independent schools have, the access to what the county? I mean, how could our children grow and soar? So what you're saying, Will, I'm drilling down deep on that. What could happen if our children had these wonderful, bright, innovative, you know, warm in the winter, cold in the summer? Classrooms.
Well, doctor, they would thrive. And that's one of the other things they mentioned about all of the new schools and upgraded schools that they have. They would thrive. My daughter's in a private school. I'm blessed to be able to put her in a private school. But one of the differences between the private and the public is the grading.
Yes.
So to get a B in her school, you have to have at least a 93.
Yes, you do.
You know.
Yes,
and
you do.
When we're making schools in Baltimore, lowering them back to a D is acceptable when it's not.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And the last little point I want to make is we have to be accountable. When you drive around this city, there's a bar on every single corner, and outside that bar, first thing in the morning, you can see anywhere from a dozen to 50 people standing outside that liquor store. Let's go to the city council and say enough is enough. And take back our people by taking back those things that are drawing them
there. There you go. I like that. Yeah. But you know what? I like that, Will, because what you just tapped in for me, that one line, let's take back our people. This idea that if we want something to change, go get our people.
They need to do that.
Yes. This is what we need to do. Thank you so much, Will. I have Stell on the line from Baltimore. Stell is a teacher here in Baltimore City. Stell, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you all today?
Fine. So now I want to ask you very quickly, what is the failing grade here in Baltimore? Because Will just made me think about something, that if in the independent schools, if a B is almost a 93, what's failing here in Baltimore City schools?
60 and below.
So wait a minute. So you can have a 62, a 65, and you're passing?
Yes. And I tell my students, in my mind, 70 it is just barely passing. And I say, well, what are you supposed to do when you go to college?
Yeah.
And you want to pass the class, because they're not going to give you a 60 and let you pass the class. Well, that's what the city benefits, but that's not reality.
Right. So we're actually helping our children. So at this point, our children in this city, in addition to the conditions that they've been dealing with, which we know still haven't gone away, just the weather has broken, right? The conditions haven't gone away. But now we have these very low, there are no high expectations for our children.
And then you look at the college prep course schools, yes, they aspire to have the 80 or above to remain in the school. But logistically, I can get a 60 and I'm going to pass. So that's a false pretense we're sending to our lovely students.
So now, how long have these policies been in place? Because somebody tapped in on Facebook like, oh, they've been put these in place. How long has a 60 been passing here in Baltimore City? Because I know it's not new.
I want to say the 60 became passing within the last 9 or 10 years.
So that we've been doing this for a long time.
Yes, I know at least a decade now.
So a decade of children coming through where a 60 is passing. Now, what's interesting, and I just want to ask you, because you're in there, do you think that the issue with our students here in Baltimore City, is the issue the environment? Is it the low expectation? Is it the teachings? Like, it's like, what is it?
Dr. K, it's the culmination of it all.
Right.
It's the culmination of aspiring to want to do more and do better. But if you notice, and as the caller said, well, the private schools and the county schools, bright classrooms, innovative classrooms, you have working computers. This year for lunch, I can actually say my students actually had really good lunch. Like, they came up Tuesday, I think they had curry, chicken, and rice.
Wow.
And even the students were taken aback, and they said, you got that for lunch? Okay, I'll go back and get my lunch too. But it shouldn't be a, what are we eating for lunch to see if I'm really going to eat lunch or not.
Right. It should be always be good, healthy, nutritious lunches every day. Now, Stell, I'm going to have to stop you there. They're playing the music in the background. I'm going to have you hold on, Stell, because I know you had another point you wanted to share. Hold on over the break. Folks, we're playing for Buddy. Buddy asked for Conversation Piece by Stevie Wonder. We're going to play that going into the break. I also want to refer you to my op-ed column that came out in the Afro yesterday. Baltimore Schools, throwback to Jim Crow era. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. When I come back, Paul, William, Richard, Keith, and Stell, she holds on, I'll come to you as well. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Keep it here for a quick update from MTA.